Because this morning I'd like to take a look at fellowship and what fellowship means. So one of the things that I've been doing is I've been reading a lot of just commentaries and context, and I came across this mention here in the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, and I thought it had a very interesting idea for fellowship. The essence of the Christian life. Fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers in Christ. I thought, wow, how interesting would that be to have a lesson that focuses on this idea of fellowship. Now, I really like pictures, and I think pictures does a great job of representing things. So I went out to Google and I typed in fellowship, and pieces of puzzles came up as the most common thing for fellowship. And I was thinking about that because, you know, what pieces of puzzles and fellowship and us working together, right? We're coming together to create a common picture. Also, a lot of puzzles are done together with individuals. So I guess that's fellowshipping together to do puzzles. I don't really like puzzles, but I figured, hey, you know, puzzles seem to be that thing that represented fellowship. Now, with the study today, I'm going to do this just a little bit differently because I normally pick a word, we define it, we look at the other places that it's used in the Bible, and then that's what we kind of come up with the context of the lesson. However, this is a little bit different today because I wanted to talk about fellowship as it's used in the Bible and not the individual term. Because when we look at just the term fellowship, it's only used once in the Old Testament, and it's only used like 17 times in the New Testament. So really we're looking at the act of fellowship and how it fits in with the Bible, not necessarily the term or even defining fellowship. We're going to look at specific examples of where fellowship is and how it's used in the Bible. Now, I really enjoy fellowship. I love talking with everyone. So that's what I was pretty excited about, putting this lesson together today, because I think us getting together and communing with one another is one of the best things that I look forward to when I come here on Sundays and Wednesdays, or just meeting with people outside. I really enjoy fellowshipping with one another. Because if we kind of break down this idea of fellowship, we have the association is based upon the sharing of something in common. Believers have fellowship with one another on the basis of their common fellowship with God, their participation in the blessings of the gospel and their common tasks of a mission. True fellowship is demonstrated in concern for and practical commitment to one another. Now, I really like that. I did get that from the Dictionary of the Bible Themes here listed. But I like that idea. True fellowship is demonstrated in concern for and practical commitment to one another. So as we go on throughout the lesson today, let's think about that commitment to one another. Now, also, I really like dealing with artificial intelligence. Almost every picture today, I kind of wrote up something regarding the lesson, and the picture that was generated off of what I was talking to this AI engine about. So I said, you know, people fellowshipping together and studying the Bible, well, that's the picture that it gave. So I find that interesting, and just keep that in mind. Almost every picture I use today is kind of what AI generated as the example. Take, for instance, when we talk about the Garden of Eden, apparently the Garden of Eden, according to AI, is butterflies and flowers. Because every image that it gave me was about that. So let's think about fellowship, and let's think about it in the garden. So in the beginning, Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to enjoy friendship and communion with God. They had that close relationship with God. However, when they sinned, that fellowship was broken. Adam and Eve hid themselves from the Lord's presence, and God immediately sought them out. And then for the rest of that time, especially from verses 9 to 15, God lays out that restoration, that restoring back to the fellowship with God. Because it was broken here in the garden, and God sets up that plan that pretty much carries out throughout the rest of the Bible here. about coming back into fellowship with Him and what we need to do that with God. Now, the Old Testament has got plenty of examples of fellowship with God. Now, specifically fellowship with God, and we'll get to fellowship with one another here in a little bit, but just fellowship with God, we have Enoch is described as a man who walked with God. Also in verse 24, it says, he walked with God and God took him and he was not. So he had such a fellowship with God, God took him. Also, Noah is mentioned to walk in communion or walk in fellowship with the Lord. Also, Abraham is also mentioned to be the friend of God, to have that fellowship. Also, as we continue with the idea of the Old Testament, Moses and David were also commonly used to talk about this fellowship with God. Also, I think it's interesting when we think about David. I told AI to come up with a picture of David. Every picture of David that I wanted to come up with was a really young person, which is interesting because if you think about when David wrote the scriptures, he would not have been young. And also, it always put a harp back behind him. I just throwing that out there. So in the Old Testament, we see a deeper fellowship with Moses, God and Moses, during the 40-day encounter, the Lord on Mount Sinai in Exodus 24. We even see that they went up and had a meal with God because it was 70 of the prophets and Moses and Aaron and Joshua all attended that. So interesting to think about what they did in fellowshipping with one another and with God there in Exodus 24. Also, later in Israel's history, David wrote the Psalms that reflected a heart virtually in tune with the living God. So I just wanted to pick out one verse real quick that just kind of talked about this area. Because we know that he wrote many of the Psalms, but I really enjoyed this one. Psalms 40, 16 through 17. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad. You let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. We have this laid out here in this psalm, and I was thinking of fellowshipping with one another, that we come to rejoice, that we are glad to be a part of this congregation and of the church of God. Because as we set up the church and as the church is set up in Acts, we see this idea of fellowshipping with one another. Now, we see fellowshipping with one another in the Old Testament and in as they interacted with God, setting up the Old Testament, especially in the temple and the tabernacle, we see this fellowship. But actually, in today, in the church, we actually have a different way that this is set up. So let's look over at Acts. Let's look at Acts 2, 40 through 45. And it says, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, if you study this out quite a bit, there is a lot going on in this current generation. You have the Roman soldiers, you're getting ready to have the destruction of Jerusalem. There is a lot of things happening at this time. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, we're also going to do that today. Then fears came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done throughout the apostles. Now, all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. So remember how I was talking about the definition of what we are to do to come in common? We know that our fellowship and devotion to God is what we have in common. Now, we may like different sport teams, we may like different things, but our thing that brings us to be here in common is our fellowship and love for God. They are actually so well knit together here when the church is first established that they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So they actually fellowshiped so much together with each other that they sold all of their possessions so no one was in need. So we show this strong fellowship and devotion to one another. Not just to God, but as to the other Christians. So also, sharing fellowship with one another. 1 John 1, 5-7 says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." So we have this thing that is in common. We know that if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have that fellowship, that common thing that keeps us together. Now, it's easy just to mention, all right, everybody, we're all just going to always follow what God has to say. We're just always going to do that. We're always going to be in the light. There's not going to be any problem. We're just going to follow this verse. Well, that doesn't always happen. We also need to encourage and uplift one another. Because as in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." So we have to consider others before we can even start to stir up love and good works. If we're only focused on ourselves, we would never be able to do this. It says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in one manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now, I believe that the day approaching is probably the destruction of Jerusalem. I'm not sure. But if you can imagine, these Christians here are getting ready to come into some very hard times. They're getting into the times where they are going to need to consider one another. There is going to be a very tough time ahead of them. So they need to exhort one another. They need to uplift one another. Just like we would today. That we need to stir up love and good works. Now, it seems like normally when you hear the word stir up, it doesn't have a good context. So you think of stirring up, and normally you stir up trouble or you stir up something else. But this is mentioning to stir up love and good works. And I guess we have to all come into our own conclusion about what that looks like for us. How are we going to stir up love and good works? Well, that might be different for each person. That's why we need to consider the needs and thoughts of others to stir up love and good works, because it may not be the same for each person. Because we are of one body. So in Romans 12, 4 through 5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all of the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, for one body in Christ, and individual members of one another." AI had a really hard time trying to make this into a picture. So I don't have any pictures with this group. "So, for as many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." So we know that everybody is to function differently, but we are of one body. There's a lot that can be said here in Romans 12 about one body in Christ. So we think about the body, about being working together. That we know if we have a body part that's not working well, right, we are going to try to fix that. We're going to try to be healthy. So if you think about that, as we come together as a body, we are to help one another, to uplift one another, because we want this body to be healthy and functioning. Because if we come together and if we have a functioning body and we are healthy with one another, we can fellowship with His Son. In 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9, it says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him and in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see that we are here in fellowship. If we walk in the light, or if we follow Jesus, we are in fellowship with Him. Because it brings in that purpose. So we have that purpose of fellowship with one another. We are encouraged to carry each other's burdens. Galatians 6 and 2, I actually gave a lesson about, that's probably about a year ago, on carrying burdens and what it means to carry someone else's burden. Also, we are discussed the benefits and compassion and support that gets into Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. We are to share resources and blessings with the community in Acts 4, 32 and 35. Also, iron sharpens iron, Proverbs 27 and 17. And that's the image that I kind of had here of two people working together to complete a task, that they're using iron to actually make, you know, a hammer or a device. They are using this together. They are fellowshipping together. They're coming together for a common task and goal. But think about that as Christians, that we're coming together to help benefit one another, to strengthen one another, to encourage and to grow in studying God's Word. But we know there are challenges to this. So we have challenges to our fellowship because we see that there are conflicts, that we are to address these conflicts and disputes that hinder fellowship, that slows down fellowship, that can actually get in the way of fellowship in James 4, 1 and 2. Because we're also given, offer biblical solutions such as love and hospitality. 1 Peter 4, 8 and 9 it says, "And beloved, all things have fervent love for one another, for love will conquer a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling." It's another one of those verses that's like, yes, but that's hard to do. Also, you might, if you look at this image of this chessboard, that's not how a chessboard's laid out, so AI had a problem with that. But I did find it interesting that every time I typed in, like, challenges and conflicts and disputes, it always showed a board game or a family playing board games. And I was like, there must be arguments and challenges and disputes when families sit down to play board games. So that's what this is kind of representing. This idea that you might have challenges and disputes, but you should still work those out. Especially if you are following God. If we are following God and doing what He says, we should have this fellowship and love for one another. All right. So actually, in closing, when we think about fellowship with one another, I want to go back to that first idea, the essence of Christian life. So today we covered a lot of things quickly. I covered a lot of different ideas. We covered a lot of different verses. We looked at the Old Testament about biblical basis of fellowship. We talked about the purpose of fellowship. Really, without this purpose of fellowship, coming together, being with one another, and following God, without that, we would really be meeting for nothing. So if you think about it, it is the essence of Christian life that we are to fellowship with God and with one another. And we have to be concerned about that. We don't want to fall away. If we do, we would hopefully be encouraged by others to come back. So that gets into our challenges with our fellowship. And we think about the practical ways to foster those fellowships. It could be just as simply as talking with everyone that came in today. To think about meeting with everybody and uplifting and encouraging them. To fellowship with God. Think about when you get up and you look forward to coming to services because you get to talk to be with, to sing and learn upon God's will. We think about all of those important pieces. But in closing today, one of the most important things about fellowshipping with God is doing His will. And one of the things about doing His will is becoming a follower of His, becoming baptized, and following Christ as it's been set up. Not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of good conscience towards God. We think about becoming baptized and becoming a follower of His. So if you would like to become baptized this morning and would like any needs for the church, come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.